We'll have a replay at 5 o'clock of our Padre Roundtable, which took place this morning. All of the opinions about the first 13 games of the Padres from our entire crew. Ben Higgins hosted, and myself and Woods and Tony and Braden, and we even let Scraby get in a couple of one-liners. It's all coming up between 5 and 6, commercial-free Padre talk for all of you. Scraby Chronicles will follow that at 6 o'clock this evening. Both Scraby and I are keeping an eye on the Masters because, as Tony referred to on the way out, Scraby and I have turned into degenerate gamblers all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I will tell you, Tony, this is the first actual cash wager I have made in ages. And Woods kind of, I'm going to throw him under the bus. He talked us into it. He basically said, "I'm not going to do it unless we pay for play for money."
That's not what he said.
Oh. What did he say?
I don't think he put the ultimatum down. I think Ben just said,
"Hey, pretty sure we asked Ben, hey, is Woods going to play?" And he said, "Yeah, he'll play if it's for money." That's pretty much what the text I think said.
Anyway, you're making it seem like Woods wouldn't play if we were.
I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have. I'm just being.
You guys are all degenerates.
We're all degenerates, but right now, Woods' draft choice, Scottie Scheffler, which is a good draft choice, is at 4 under par. Ben stole the no-name Canadian Corey Connors for me.
Yeah.
Wait. Ben stole.
Well, it was a snake draft. It was a snake draft. So Ben was just before me, and I had the very last pick, and my mind was set on this Canadian guy, Corey Connors.
Ben stole.
Yeah, he stole my guy.
I thought that was one of the golfers. Ben stole.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so
he was the guy who peed into Ray's Creek.
Yes, Ben stole.
Yeah. But anyway, Ben went with Corey Connors, this Canadian, who always plays well at Augusta, and he did today, 4 under par. Rory McIlroy is also one of Ben's guys at 4 under par.
He'll choke that off.
And it's early. But anyway, we're all competing to see who's going to win the big pot.
Scraby likes choke artists.
Scraby's off to a very bad start, by the way.
I sure am.
Although Victor Hovland has rallied for you, Scraby. He's at 1 under now.
I don't even want to look until the end of the day because I don't want to continue
watching. Yeah, well, I'm
going to
tell you everything. Kepka's at +1.
Yeah, please tell him.
Oh, how funny
because
is
this,
that?
This is what he enjoys.
He does this to me
all the time.
I actually don't.
You actually do. Spieth is +1. And your number one draft choice.
Stay. For those who are watching in the chat right now.
Is he upset?
Scraby's so mad right now.
Yeah, he does this to me often.
He's trying to pretend like it doesn't bother him.
You know what
he's furious right now.
He does this to me when he doesn't even know he's doing it to me. Because if I have, and he knows this, if I have one of my fantasy pitchers in action during the show, I try to stay away from it on the TV and everything.
So I think it's crazy because we're a freaking baseball show.
Let him cook. Let him cook over here.
But my point is I don't want to take away from my focus on the show by looking up and seeing that my pitcher just gave up 5 runs.
Right.
But invariably, later in the day, Scraby will go, "Boy, Verlander got rocked today, didn't he?" And I'm like, "Oh, great.
Because I don't know.
Can't wait to watch
because
that.
Because I don't know that he has Justin Verlander."
It's such a Scraby move, too.
It's no. Here's the thing. It's like, I don't understand why we're a sports talk show, but Chris only allows us to talk about certain things if his fantasy players are on. That's not cool.
That's just not all the way accurate.
How is it not? He just said it.
He said he tries to stay away.
I try to stay away so that I can focus on the show.
Not allowed to mention any sort of baseball player ever again?
Well, I don't want to know. All right, look. Are you going to tell me that anyone out there needs to know Justin Verlander's stats that day?
Probably not. I said it was his first start as a Giant, and I said, "Man, Verlander got rocked."
We don't live in San Francisco.
But we're in the National League West, and we're talking about baseball at the time.
You could talk about the Padres. There's a lot of stuff you could talk about.
You guys gaslight me too much.
By the way, you started.
So irritated.
You know, we all have memories like elephants. And the very first time this ever came up,
you told me
the Aztec Fresno State score on Friday night, and you did it with a gleam
with a
in
glee.
Your eye.
Yeah.
You couldn't wait, even though I asked you on air not to.
I remember that moment like it was yesterday.
There you go.
You had a great time busting his bubble.
Yes, well, because you know why?
Why?
We're a San Diego sports show with the Aztecs football team playing. We can't mention the score.
You didn't even like the Aztecs at the time.
I'm eating my pita.
While you eat your pita, play us a little Daily Gambit stuff, Scrape.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Just got to tell you, that Spiro's pita.
Bomb.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Bomb. It's so good. I could eat pounds of pita bread. I really could.
I'm going to just do this because here I am on the chat, and this is what I'm...
Oh, no, you unplugged yourself.
Oh, too bad. I was going to show everybody that the food is right.
It was a good idea, though.
The food is within reach, and it's hard to keep doing the show.
Wait, is that shrimp that you got there, or is that chicken? No, it's chicken.
No, it's just a little chicken. Okay. It's wonderful.
All right. Let's go to the bets that we made a couple days ago, and then I got to fix Chris's camera.
you don't trust me to try and do it.
Well, I would have to explain on the air how to get it back.
Yeah.
All right. First bet that we made on Tuesday was the Oklahoma City Thunder, 9-point favorites over the Lakers. Chris went OKC. Tony and I said Lakers. OKC won 136-120.
Yes, but the Lakers bounced back nicely last night.
Yes,
and Luka Doncic. I don't know if you saw it, Tony, but I thought the Dallas Mavericks, who tried to do too much and were shot down, did the right thing, though, by putting a beautiful video tribute to Luka on the board before the game. Kind of brought him to tears, got everybody out, big standing ovation. It was really a nice touch.
And then he proceeded to drop a 40-piece on him.
Destroyed him, yeah, he did.
Cleveland Cavaliers, -15, over the Bulls on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Chris and I chose the Bulls because I think the Bulls were on the way up.
Yeah, they are, but they sat three of their top players, and I didn't know that.
Didn't you change it? You changed it.
No, he went.
No,
he
I changed it.
Donovan Mitchell did not play, but then the Bulls sat their top three
players.
Yeah,
I changed mine.
Yeah, Cleveland won 135-113.
Yeah,
so Tony changed his, and it worked for him. Who scored more in their game on Tuesday, Giannis or Ant-Man? Chris and Tony went Ant-Man. I went Giannis. Ant-Man had 25. Or Giannis was -3, too, on the spread.
Okay.
Giannis had 23, so you take those 3 points away, 20 points.
Ant-Man
is the winner.
All right.
Phillies and Braves from Tuesday night. We all chose the Phillies. The Braves won this one, 7-5.
Okay.
Padres A's over under 8 runs for Tuesday nights. Tony went under. Chris and I went over. And it was a 10-4 game, right?
Yes. Okay,
yeah, that went 14.
Over. Yeah.
And then Paul Skeens over under 7.5 strikeouts in his game a couple nights ago. We should have bet on the earned runs because he gave up 5 and he only struck out 7, so it was under and we were all wrong.
You know, I'm going to see if Connor Joe, when the Pirates are in town, can hook us up with Paul Skeens. I would love to have him come in studio to meet you one day.
Chris, I have...
I would love to see your actual reaction to that.
See, I would love to know all the lies that you would tell him, because I have maintained since day one that I am not a Paul Skeens hater. I'm a media coverage hater.
I would tell him the exact thing. I'd say, Paul, I have a partner named Matt Scraver that claims he is not a hater of you. But we think he's kind of a hater.
He is kind of a hater. And you just mentioned he gave up 5 runs. There was no bad coverage of that.
Nobody covered that at all.
Yeah, that was just you reacting.
You had to get that in there.
I would never come in because Chris would just lie the entire time about what I said.
Need to. You'd be so uncomfortable, I would just watch you squirming over there.
Oh, I would totally be uncomfortable. That is for sure.
That I would just enjoy that. We'll do our picks in a minute because we're coming up on the break. But, Tony, your thoughts on the Lake Show and Doncic and how it's working out now. They've gone up. They've gone down. They've kind of gone back up. They're in the 3 spot. But a 1-game
sitting
lead
pretty
over like a bunch of teams that are right behind them with 2 or 3 games to go. It's kind of exciting.
I think they had 2 games to go. They won last night. I think they win the next one. They clinched the 3 spot.
Oh, they do. They have the tiebreaker over all those teams.
They have the tiebreaker over all of them.
Oh, well, then that's
so
they're in good shape.
They're in great shape
to get the 3.
Yeah. I was happy to see them, because remember I told you the second Oklahoma City game. I said I just want them
and they did
to keep it close.
And not only did they keep it close,
they almost won.
They were winning until Luka got ejected from that game.
You know what? And I know they rescinded one of the technicals, but we've talked about this is still kind of Luka's fault. He's got to stop whining to the officials. He's setting himself up for this.
He is. And I even though I believe that he was definitely conversating with a fan that was giving it to him.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta be more mindful, right? If the referee who you've already cussed out early in the game gave you a T, is walking up that same sideline, there's a chance he might think you're talking to him.
Yeah.
And once he ejects you, you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't think you can bring him back.
Like, no, never mind on the ejection.
He was talking to the fan.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, no, Luka,
I agree.
Luka's got a God. If he played, he's so good already. I just wonder what level he could get to if he was just, you know. But maybe there's also a part of me, and you've watched him more, there's a part of me that thinks he gets motivation out of perceived things that don't go his way. Right? Are there certain people, you know what I mean? Like something, he doesn't get a call, or they call a foul he doesn't like. It seems to almost sharpen his focus.
It does.
So maybe this is something that he almost needs to do.
I do think there's a piece of a lot of the talking that he's doing with the refs inevitably ends up getting him dialed in.
Yeah.
Because he seems after he doesn't get a call, he seems to always get the next one, and he seems to start going off from there.
If you're rooting against Luka, you hope that he's now distracted. Doesn't usually happen.
No.
So, all right, we'll do our picks after traffic. Still more Gwen and Chris ahead. We're also for you SDFC fans. Actually, Bradley Wright Phillips.
Oh, yes. Yes. So we're going to do Daily Gamer later.
Yeah, we'll get our picks in a little later.
Forgot.
Yes, we didn't forget you, Bradley. We got you here on the sheet. And I do have the sheet today, Scraby. Are you happy?
Who picked it up?
Here we go.
Bradley Wright Phillips, analyst on MLS 360, will join us shortly. Also on MLS Countdown and MLS Wrap Up. Talk some SDFC here shortly.
Very accomplished MLSer.
Yes, he is. Nine-year vet in MLS. Spent some time in New York with the Red Bulls.
He was a Red Bull. Formerly with the England National, or Manchester City. He's played some big-time teams.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. Looking forward to having him on. SDFC, 4 wins. I hate their record, the way they list it. 4-1-2 is the way I list it. The way they list it is 4-2-1.
Now, the 2 is the ties?
Yes.
They list the ties in the middle before the losses,
which is just, I mean, this is, I hate to tell you, but this is American soccer. This is how we should do it American-wise.
I think from, first, we don't have any ties in anything else, do we? Oh, I guess hockey.
They call it an overtime loss because the game actually goes to
football.
OT. You can tie in football, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I guess, in terms of
there's no points there. I think the reason why they do that is because you get 3 for a win,
one for a tie,
you get 0 for a loss.
I can still figure it out if they put the ties at the end.
I think they also think you can figure out how to do their
I'm
wins
figuring
and
it out, but it takes extra time.
Someone got mad at me last week because...
Again, this is not something that really bothers me. It's just, we just fought.
No, someone just got mad at me last week because the teams are listed on like the website. It's always away team on top, home team on the bottom. And it's opposite for this.
So
I said that SDFC was on the road, and I got a DM from someone. If you're going to talk about... I just spit everywhere.
You guys saw that.
If you're going to talk about something, make sure you know what you're talking about. I'm like, it was a simple mistake, dude.
Yeah, no, that part is... I'm still getting used to myself. Home team on top versus the road team.
Yeah, please change it.
Just for you.
No, for all of us. If I told you that the 49ers record was 10-0-3, that would mess you up.
Yeah.
As I'm putting their ties first.
Right.
You wouldn't,
it would mess you up for you to be like, oh, okay, good. They got a pretty good
record. Right, they're doing great.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah. So, anyway. Any way you list it, SDFC is doing fantastic.
Let's bring on our astute guest, Bradley Wright Phillips, joins us here, studio analyst on MLS 360, MLS Countdown, and MLS Wrap-Up. Bradley, how are you? Thanks for joining us today.
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for coming on. SDFC is the talk of the town out here. They are off a terrific start They get two home wins here in the last couple. They're going to head out on the road. What have you seen from this SDFC team that has impressed you to this point?
There's so many things. And I'll be honest, the start, I wasn't sure what it was going to look like. I wasn't sure how Mikey Barros was going to set them up. But it's just a confident style, free-flowing football. All the players confident on the ball. Anders Dries, I think Dries is a great pickup. Obviously, we know what Chucky Lozano can do, but it's just the style of play. It's how comfortable the players are. It's how every player knows what's asked of them in, you know, during a match, where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to receive the ball. It's just really good to watch. As a football fan, that's how football's supposed to be played.
Is there a reason that other teams either aren't doing that always, or is SDFC just doing it better than other teams right now?
No, I think there's a few teams that you could look at. You know, one that comes to mind is Columbus. They do it properly. But it's not to say it's the only way to play football, but it just depends on your identity and what you believe in as a coach. I don't think every coach can do it, because I think you have the scouting has to be right. If you want to play out from the back, you have to have the right goalkeeper. You have to have the right six to get you out from defense into attacks. And I think Zverkov and Godoy have done an amazing job in that role. But it's not just about teams not being able to do it. It depends on what they, you know, value in their philosophy.
Bradley Wright Phillips joins us here, 9-year MLS vet. And Bradley, I think folks here in San Diego have already started to grow very fond of this team. And they've only experienced winning to this point. Very few losses. Who else on their side, on the Western Conference side, is going to be a challenge to SDFC moving forward?
Well, let's have it right. Listen, every game in MLS is going to be difficult, right? They're all going to pose different challenges. But I think if we're going off early season, you have to put Vancouver up there. Vancouver, because they play good football, but they're also solid to break down. They're not easy to break down and get chances against. And I think San Diego have made it look very easy cutting through teams. If we look at Seattle, one of the best offensive teams over the years, San Diego cut through them like they was like a bunch of kids. I think that'll be a different test when you play Vancouver. I think dealing with the Minnesota counterattack, because they're very comfortable in the low block, they will let you have the ball. But then when it's time for them to attack, they have players that are quick in the break and are difficult to defend. So I think those will give proper challenges.
Bradley Wright Phillips is our guest. Tony mentioned it, 9 years in the MLS and a star in the MLS, two golden boots. And we talk about this often. What's one of the hardest things to do in sports? We talk about hitting a baseball. Yeah. We talk about some of the other, golf and all that. I would think scoring a goal in a soccer match is really not easy. Bradley Wright Phillips did it 117 times in the MLS, countless other times overseas. What's the key to scoring in soccer, Bradley, from a guy that scored a lot of goals?
It's a difficult question to answer, because there's a lot of players that look like they should be scoring goals. They have the technique, they have a good strike, but don't end up scoring goals. For me, I've always thought of goal scoring as a mindset. If we take Alonso Martinez, for example, playing for New York City, he was playing out wide when he first came. But you could always see the way he plays, the way he is, how calm he is in front of goal, the contacts he makes with the ball. Doesn't panic. He doesn't get overwhelmed when he misses a chance. These are goal scoring like traits. These are players that can score goals. That's a mindset. I don't think it depends on, I don't think it's just a thing you obviously have to work on it, but I think you're almost born with it. It's not easy to explain and it's not easy to do, but it's about being in the right place. It's about not, wavering. You can't miss a chance and lose confidence. It's about getting in the same spots, hitting the target and thinking about clean contact.
Bradley, one of the things that has come up here in recent conversations as it pertains to MLS as a whole is this whole scheduling conflict. They're talking about eventually moving the schedule so that it aligns a little bit more with the international schedule. Is that of any importance to you? Do you think that's a good move for MLS to make?
Listen, MLS have worked fine just up till now. But for me, where I come from, where I played, I think it makes more sense. And now being over here in America, let's just think about transfers, players. Let's take Dreyer, for example. He comes over and he's played very well, don't get me wrong. But there might be time in the season where he dies out, because he's come from playing at Anderlecht. Now he's gone into a full season here with San Diego. And by the end of the season, he's almost played, a season and a half of football. And that's not good for anybody. So one, I think for the players, that would be amazing. I think there's a lot of positives to it, but that's the one I relate to as a player. If I could come here and just start afresh the same time as everyone else,
right?
I think it would do wonders for players.
Bradley Wright Phillips is our guest, MLS analyst, and man, just like everyone else from the MLS, it's been a really fun to talk to you about football, as you say, Bradley. Chucky Lozano scored his first goal. He missed a couple games with injury. Tell us what he means, not only to this team on the pitch, but what does he mean, you know, with this organization? I mean, he's part of a win. They as you said, they sliced through Seattle 3-0 last week. I think they had all the goals in the first half, which is really a bit uncommon. But when Chucky is going and he's out there, I mean, it gives everybody in the stands, I think, somebody to kind of lean on as well.
First of all, just him as a, in general, you get your poster boy, right? You get the face of the franchise. He's going to bring in a lot of fans. It's going to be excitement around the stadium, around the city. So that's one thing. But the style of play San Diego play, where everything is played to feet, played in behind. The first couple of games, I wasn't sure. I was like, there's no threat in behind. Yes, it looks nice, but there's no threat in behind. That, for me, is tailor-made for Chucky. Mm-hmm. You see the speed he has in transition. So when you've got a team that's playing to feet, and then all of a sudden it's a running behind by Chucky, it just makes the team that little bit more dangerous. And I think it's a perfect fit for him. I wasn't really sure how Chucky would look when he comes into this league, but just seeing the last game against Seattle, seeing how dangerous he is, you know, when he has space to run into, it could be that goal that he scored could be seen that a lot down the season.
Brad, the last one for me, MLS has been in effect here in the States since 1993. Here we are 30 years plus removed from the beginning of it. Where do you think it is at, the league is at, in comparison to some of the top leagues in the world?
That's a difficult question. I'm happy you asked that. It's a tough one, right? Because it's new. I was saying the other day, it's not often, you know, as a football fan, you get to see a new team play, a new stadium open. That doesn't happen often. That happens so often here. So it seems, because we're having all of those things, new teams, new stadiums, you know, new rules even sometimes, it seems that we're in our very early stage, which we are. But if you look at the quality on the pitch, it seems like we're catching up very quick. You know, we're getting players that are leaving MLS and going to Europe and having huge success. So in our years, when it comes to, you know, just the history of the league, we're very young. I think MLS has done a great job of catching up, doing it their own way, but still having a quality league. Tons of fans turning up every week. You know, so it's progressing well. It's hard to say where we are at the moment compared to other leagues, but we're competing. We have players that can play in, you know, that can leave MLS today and play in the Premier League. So, you know, it depends how you want to measure it.
Certainly have made a lot of strides, and as you said, trying to keep up and compete. Certainly that rule change in terms of possibly being on the same calendar could go a long way. Bradley, we certainly appreciate you coming on, man. We look forward to doing it again down the line.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bradley.
Bradley Wright Phillips, studio analyst for MLS 360, MLS Countdown, and MLS Wrap-Up. All of the guests that
I know
MLS has sent our way, they've been phenomenal.
It's been fun to talk to all of them. One thing I didn't get into with Bradley, he was maybe nicknamed the Great One back in the day. He wore number 99 when he played for the Red Bulls, and he scored 108 goals. I mean, that, for them, and 117 total in his career. There's only four or five guys that have had more in MLS history than Bradley Wright Phillips. It was interesting that he answered, yeah, scoring goals, it's hard to explain. I'm like, well, who should I ask? You know, you've scored the fifth most or whatever, so I thought I'd ask you. But I think he's right. I mean, you don't quite know what makes a good striker, but I like what he said. And it works for every sport. If you blow a chance, you got to come right back.
Right.
And that works in any sport.
Yep.
You miss 10 shots, as Rick Pitino told his team, well, go play defense and find something else you can do to help you win. Ask Walter Clayton of Florida the other night.
Yeah.
He found a way to win the game even though he couldn't score
much. You miss every shot you don't take.
Yeah, so. But right, keep shooting, keep firing. And you know who invented that saying, by the way? Wayne Gretzky. You miss every shot you don't take. That was a Wayne Gretzky line back
there
in the
day. Makes sense. So,
the
makes
good
sense.
One.
The great one. Don't you mess it up, buddy. Let's get to break. 30. Well, are we going to 30 Mile Zone, or are we going to finish up our
bets? We'll do Daily Gambit at 420, but we'll do 30 Mile Zone next.
You heard the boss. We're going to Chris on the other side.
All right, we're back. 3:35 is the time. Having a wonderful lunch provided by our friends at Spiro's today. But now I have to take a break and do the show. So, kind of going
an
backwards.
Argument, an argument broke out during the break over here. Scraby wanted to put the food up.
I was like, I'm not done eating. And he's like, why does everything have to revolve around you?
Because it does.
All I just said is
everything
I'm not
Everything revolves around you.
All I said is I'm not done eating. That isn't trying to get it to revolve around anything.
Don't turn on the TV because my fantasy player is playing. I'm not done eating yet. Don't put the food away.
I mean, that's different. That's
whose fault is it I don't have my sheet right now?
Listen to you. You got any more on your list you want to check
off? I don't think you get any support out there in the community when you do this.
I don't think you do either.
I don't care.
I think it makes you look a little
I think it just finally clear. Opens people up to what we've been saying for a very
no,
long time.
No, this just...
Be nicer to Scraby.
I finally feel like I can get this out because I've been hiding it for the last 7 years.
I don't know that you've been hiding. When have you been hiding anything? Dude, you are a faucet that does not turn off.
Nate says we need counseling. I don't think it would work.
Scraby probably wouldn't show up.
You need a little anger management sometimes, I do think.
You are angry.
You told me that you don't believe in anger management.
No, I don't think it would work, but I think you should try it.
I don't actually have anger management. I have... Or anger problem, I'm sorry. I think...
I don't think he said you had anger problems. He said you had...
Telling me to go to anger management would lead me to believe that I have anger problems. But I think it's more of... what's the word I'm looking for, guys?
I don't know.
I can't. It's an OCD thing.
OCD thing.
Because like, I put my mind
now,
on...
Now, Chris is do you suffer from OCD
yes.
a little bit?
Yes, yes,
yeah, and you see me under control.
Well, he takes... Well, whatever. Once I get my mind on the fact that I'm covering up the food... Like,
you
my brain is overwhelmed with, go cover the food, dude. And then Chris goes, well, I'm not done yet. And now I'm thinking, like, the food is still uncovered and I need to go.
All kinds of craziness.
So now you're coming clean. You're coming clean. The reason you reacted is your fault, not my fault.
The reaction is 100% my fault. Okay. Like, the reaction is the bad part.
It's not what I said. It's how you reacted.
No, it's how you said it. But
Justin Rose, -7, finishes up on the lead after day one of the Masters. But a pretty good group chasing. Scottie Scheffler, -4. Bryson DeChambeau, now -4. Corey Connors, a Canadian, is also at -4. McIlroy was up there. And then I didn't see, but he must have found some water.
Must have found water.
Must have found a little water because he's down to -1.
Told you, Scrape.
Day one of the Masters wrapping up soon.
I told you.
All right, Gwen and Chris, San Diego's #1 sports talk station. Thanks again to our guest, Bradley Wright Phillips. That was fun. I look forward to like the next one next week. Every time we get one of these MLS TV analysts on to talk about our SDFC. Right now, though... Time to see what else is wandering through Scraby's mind as we head into traffic and then the 30. Did I say what?
You said you were saying hour.
Right.
Oh, and it sounded like you said RSDFC, like RS.
Rancho San Diego. I used to live in Rancho San Diego. So that's what that was. All right, here's the 30 mile zone.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30 Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's start with something that has nothing to do with 30 Mile Zone, but I found this and I want to say it. Chris said it to me in the break. Manny Machado is second in stolen bases in Major League Baseball this year, only behind O'Neill Cruz. That is wild to me. That is pretty crazy. I would not have expected that.
If he, I would venture to guess if he goes on to win the stolen base crown, he'd probably be one of the oldest to do that.
Manny winning the stolen base crown.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but he's 6-for-6. And Fernando, I think, is right behind him, 5-for-5.
Yeah.
Padres have been... uber successful stealing bases for sure.
They really have, but that surprised me when I saw that. All right, do we want to start with Zach Hample or do we want to start with Mr. Golfer who relieved himself in
Well,
race
let's
cream?
Finish that up.
Okay.
I think we started talking about that at the beginning, so let's finish up with the guy who used Ray's Creek as a
bathroom,
as a restroom. Yeah.
Yes. So the Masters is happening today.
And Jose Ballester, that's what it is.
He's an amateur, by the way.
Yeah, he is, yes. He plays for Arizona State. He's kind of made some news already because he's wearing a hat with upside-down lettering, which I don't really care about. But
he made news because of that?
When you go to the Masters, you're expected to act a certain way.
Okay, that's not acting a certain way?
No, wearing a hat with upside-down lettering could be seen
as
disrespectful.
To
the Masters? Don't know. I'm not this person. But the Masters themselves...
Listen, I'm all for tradition. I love tradition, all that.
Me too.
That's a little ridiculous.
This is crazy.
Let's be honest. If that is termed to be disrespectful, it's only the second most disrespectful thing he did to me.
That's true. Good point, Chris.
The relieving himself is going to probably top the list.
This guy actually won the U.S. Amateur last year, but he decided to go to the bathroom on the course, and here is what he said after the round.
What happened there? Well... I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box. Yes, yeah. Correct. And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much. And then they caught for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud. So that was kind of funny.
Are you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or I mean, obviously, they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me. They saw me. Yeah. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me. So if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Okay, I don't know that that's the right answer.
Yeah, that's not at the Masters. Tony, I agree with you. I mean, I think I've always said that. I think the Masters is way too aloof for me.
Very hoity-toity.
Yes, but the fact is they are aloof and hoity-toity, and they're not going to look fondly on this,
no,
I don't think, at all.
He might not get an invite back.
Yeah, he's an amateur. He may never make it to the pros.
I didn't know he was an amateur.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's just...
His answer is not going to endear him to anybody.
You could tell, listening to his answers, he's completely oblivious.
He is.
To what is... What,
right.
What those reporters are trying to indicate to him.
They were almost trying to give him a way out.
Like, hey, you want to say something about this?
Yeah.
I don't really care.
No, he was just like, he said he would do it again.
He said he loved the fact that he got the biggest applause of his day for going to the bathroom. Which, he's a character. He's a character
clearly.
Right there.
Yeah, but
clearly, I don't know that the Masters likes characters.
Yeah, character's not required at Augusta National.
Yeah, but this is a tournament that fired Gary McCord from being a commentator because he said the greens were as slick as bikini wax, and they...
He never got to announce there again.
No.
Wait, who?
Gary McCord.
He was a broadcaster.
Yeah, he had a mustache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They never let him in there again.
Never let him broadcast there again because he said the greens were as slick as bikini wax. Or like, right, I know bikini wax was part of it.
What was wrong with that?
Sexualizing?
Apparently something to them.
Oh, to the sexualizing the greens?
Save that clip. No, like, just bringing up something like that.
I don't think any of us would fit at the Masters. Scraby would fake it.
He would 1,000%.
He would fake it, but you really shouldn't be
just
there.
Just so that he could be there, he would fake it.
I see people say such a stupid controversy. I don't think this is stupid.
Listen, you probably, I think you probably shouldn't pee in the Ray's River,
Ray's Creek,
Ray's Creek,
one of the most famous creeks in the world.
You probably shouldn't do that. But if it was any other place, this would be a non-story.
I would agree with that.
So I think that's what the folks on the chat are pointing out.
My first thought was, do we have an issue with kickers going to the bathroom? Remember when, Nick Novak went to the restroom on the sideline and they had to put a towel around him so he could do that? I mean, I didn't find it offensive, but I thought it was, like, strange.
It's definitely weird.
he was kneeling down.
I mean, sometimes you can't get to all the way to the back.
Well, he said he just forgot that the restrooms were right
there. I'm not talking about my man here. Yeah, I'm talking about Novak and his case.
Oh, wait a minute. He said, I didn't quite hear.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Was the restroom right there?
He said, I didn't realize the bathrooms were right there.
Oh,
goodness. Yeah.
Well, I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left.
Okay. Yeah, he's never going to be a professional.
I think he won the U.S. Amateur. He's pretty good.
I don't think he won't be a professional, but he ain't going to be invited there for a while.
Yeah.
Unless he wins this weekend, he's not coming back.
Yeah, we can move on from that. I don't think they should disqualify him, which is what some fans are asking for, and those fans are stuffy.
Life. Like, they're stop stuffy. It. You don't. You wanted to really be disqualified. Like, how is that impacting you?
It's not.
Stop it, people.
All right, let's go to another guy who fans love, Zach Hampel. Chris, do you know who Zach Hampel is?
No, I don't think so.
He is, we've talked about him before, so once I say this, you're going to remember. He is a guy who goes around to ballparks all over the country and catches home runs, catches fly balls.
He pushes kids down to get the ball.
He sure does. There's a couple videos. Well, he was at the Rays game earlier this week, and he had a ball hit towards his area. And here's the, I didn't have time to put it on the stream, but here is the audio from the call.
And get that glove up there. You think he's got a great chance of catching that ball.
Keep talking, bro. Okay. He didn't talk anymore.
Well, he's describing the fact that the left fielder probably could have caught the ball.
Yes, but Zach Hampel was the one who caught the ball.
He reached out. And Tony and I were, it was a little unclear whether he reached over or just,
I don't think,
you know, caught it right at the top of the fence.
What was the call the other day? Someone definitely reached over. We watched this.
No, it was on Pittsburgh. It was fan interference.
That one was a definite.
But they gave the kid a triple, or they gave the batter a triple because the outfielder wasn't there.
Well, the difference is it's a discretionary call, right? The umpire has to deem player without question would have caught the ball in order to rule it any other way. In that particular case, they ruled it was interference. But they also ruled that there wasn't a definitive that he was going to catch the ball. So
So the question is, like, fans are sick of this guy. Because
The guy who goes, this guy, Zach Hampel. Okay.
Yeah, and you can't ban him from games. But, like, when do you stop with this? Like, because he knows that people don't like him. He knows that he has a target on his back because people don't want him to get baseballs. He knows that when he goes to these games, he also wears different hats so that people don't see him or notice him, and he'll wear different shirts so that he can get extra balls. I don't know. I think he
probably stands out there during batting practice, tries to catch as many as he can.
I'm sure he does. And he goes to all the different locations where a big home run ball is going to be hit, like Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 or Albert Pujols hitting 600 or whatever it was.
Okay.
Is there anything that can be done about this? Do you guys think it's that big of a deal that he goes all over the country and now he's actually affecting the game, which hasn't happened before?
I think this situation will take care of itself. I honestly think so. As he goes around, more people are going to recognize him.
Some father is going to take exception to him bumping a young lady out of the way.
I think we don't need to do anything.
I agree.
This thing will take care of itself at some point. It may not be soon. It may be a year from now. At some point, it's going to take care of itself.
It was rumored today that he got banned by Major League Baseball, and it turned out to be a fake rumor, but a couple of the big news
outlets ran with it.
They fell for it.
Listen, I can completely see. It don't even have to be a father. It could just be two dudes who recognize him and like, nah, we're not letting him get this ball.
Right. Yeah, let's see him fight two guys who grab Mookie Betts' arm.
They don't want any more smoke, though. They're good.
But they're going to do every interview that is afforded to them. Zach Hampel, nothing can be done, but he's now affecting games. They did not call this fan interference, though. They called it a home run.
Okay.
All right. If you are a collector of LeBron James items, Tony, you're going to want to buy this. Because now LeBron James is a Kenbassador. Do you know what that is, Chris? A Kenbassador?
Well, I do because you gave me a heads up on this. But tell everybody else.
Yes, LeBron James is the first ever Barbie Kenbassador. They're calling him Le Barbie. And he has his own Barbie doll now. Full of, and I retweeted this at 97.3 The Fan SD, but look, guys, he's got a blue jacket on, he's got a hat, he's got his shoes on, but he is a Barbie doll now. Is this something you are willing to buy? Tony.
No.
Chris. Guess how much it's going for on eBay right now? I just clicked on a link for it.
10 grand.
10
no,
grand?
No, not yet. $300.
No.
I'm not paying $300 for a Barbie doll of LeBron.
I wasn't paying $9.99 for that Barbie doll.
Apparently, just to try to give LeBron a little, you know, support here, Mariah Carey, Elton John.
Yeah, he's not the first.
Right. There's a lot of celebrities that have done this. He's the first male athlete to do this. I'm assuming he signed off on it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They couldn't have just done this without
his
okay. No,
this is like a licensed thing.
Well, so I guess he's trying to, you know, don't young people, aren't they mostly enamored with Barbie dolls? I don't know too many people over the age of eight that have Barbie dolls.
My nieces do not own Barbie dolls.
So I didn't, I know, but I'm saying most people who do own them are probably not older than 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
He just wants to keep the brand going to the young people, I guess. But no, I would not buy one of these ever. Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
I'm almost embarrassed. I'm looking at the photo of it right now. I'm going to click off.
You're almost embarrassed of LeBron. I think it's fine. Yeah. I think it's fine.
It's all right.
All right. That's all I got, guys. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Last one. Did you guys see the end of the Guardians and White Sox game last night?
Oh, that was sad, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That was sad.
What was worse, that or the pop-up in the Pirates game where the Cardinals guy got tagged out trying to score after two guys collided and that fell to the ground?
That one was very
Pirates-esque
right there. Who were they playing?
Cardinals.
And I hate to say this, but... if you're that base runner that got tagged out,
yeah,
you're
not going to live that down. The runner was at second base. The ball was popped up out in front of the plate, and what happened is the first baseman and the catcher both were going for it.
Yeah.
They collided. Neither of them caught it, and they smashed to the ground just as the Cardinal runner was approaching home plate. But he had to try to avoid where they were lying on the ground. And as he was doing that, the pitcher picked up the ball and tagged him out.
Yeah, but
so
he
actually got the out.
It seemed like whoever was running had a little bit of case of ADHD, too, because he seemed to get caught up in the drama of the crash.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really like full speed anymore. He kind of was like tiptoeing.
He
kind of
forgot that he was trying to score.
I think you're right.
I think he
forgot. And then I think he picked up whoever. There was a pitcher who grabbed the ball, and then he tried to speed it up. It was too late at that point. Oh, that was a bad. That's a tough look right
that
there.
That is a tough look.
The White Sox thing was just sad.
The guy's
easily going to.
He just came off the IL, too, from that hamstring injury.
Yeah, right. So he was going to score the tying run on a base hit the left field. He pulled up
and got halfway home,
and then they could do was tag him out and end the game.
That pull right there,
yeah.
he's probably going to be out a little bit. Because given that he just came off the IL.
And he fell to the ground, couldn't even walk,
yeah. Man. I've been there. That's a bad, bad feeling right there.
Yeah, but that is very White Sox. To be able to have a run coming in to tie the game and he can't make it home from third base.
Almost, you remember Major League when he slides into second base and he's short?
Yes.
That's kind of how the catcher tagged him, too.
It was.
Sorry, man. Got to get you.
Yeah. His only other choice was to drag him over home plate, which I don't think he was going to do. So,
all right, that's it for her.
All right, good TMZ. Chris versus the fans pops in here next. Chance for you to win a trip to Las Vegas. Dial in, play a little trivia. 833-288-0973. It's next.